Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning, and we're going to go right into prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We thank you because we're here, because we know it's only by your grace that we're here today, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for sustaining this earth, Lord. Thank you for all your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for the sun rising in the east, Lord God. It shows that you are faithful, that promise, Lord God. So, Father, we ask that you would help us. Help us in our class today, Lord God. We know that we can do all these things, but it's the Spirit, Lord God, that must come, Lord God, to give the increase. Oh, Lord, it's by your hand, Lord God, that we're going to learn, Lord God. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and move in our class, Lord, and not in just this class, but all the classes in the house of God, and not just this house of God, but all the houses of God all over the world. Every church, oh, Lord God, that proclaims Jesus is Lord, be with them, our brothers and sisters all over the world, Lord God. Father, I pray for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, oh, Lord, with us, Lord God. And we thank you, and we praise you, and we expect you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Several announcements today. First one is that next week is Sunday dinner. Yay! So we're going to have our Sunday dinner at my house, and it's right after church, usually about 1 o'clock or so. We gather, and we just have a good time, and we're going to have a barbecue. Barbecue is guaranteed, guys. So we're gonna have barbecue something. But we're gonna have barbecue. I don't quite have the menu, but you know how it is. We're gonna all do bring our favorite dishes, and Terry's bringing cornbread salad. Okay, all right, or something. Terry always brings a great dish. So we just look forward to just getting together and just having some fellowship. And I'm going to force my vacation videos on you, okay? So just so you know what's coming, okay?
They're not slides anymore.
They're not slides anymore. They're vacation videos that I'm just going to force. I went to Niagara Falls. So I just want to show you some of that footage, you know.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You'll see a little bit of the Karen Coven show. So. Okay, so we're going to go right into our lesson. And we are still on the priority of prayer. And, oh boy, this has just been a wonderful lesson. I'm hoping that you guys are just really getting in your heart and your spirit what we're trying to convey and what the Holy Spirit is trying to convey. You know, as I said, again, God does it over and over again. We say one thing in here, and then we hear it in the sanctuary. Or just that song, Terry, that I was mentioning, that song, and they sang it in the church, you know. And I just am amazed how, you know, you can always guarantee God's listening in, folks. He's listening in. He's listening to what we're saying and what we're doing. He's always listening in, even in your private time. You're never, ever alone, and he's always listening. And I love when he confirms that to us, that he's listening. So again, we get back to the priority of prayer, the priority of talking to God, the priority of bringing things to the Lord, and the priority of not trying to do it yourself, but bringing everything to him. You know, if you try to do it your own, yes, he'll step back and he'll say, okay. But if you bring it to him, oh, the change, the difference that it can make. If you bring everything to the Lord in prayer, it doesn't matter how you're feeling. Doesn't matter even if you're angry. Doesn't matter if you're frustrated. Pray. Bring it to God in prayer. And he changes everything, and he changes the people around you, too. That's a beautiful thing. He can melt hearts. You know, the people that you're mad at, he can melt those hearts. He can tear down those walls. I love that. So pray to God when you're mad, okay? David did. You know, David said, I hate them. I hate them with a perfect hatred, Lord. He did. So we pray. We can pray when you're mad and watch God just turn the tide of things, folks. Prayer should be a priority because it turns the tide. So last week we were talking about prayer in the church and how everything that we do in God's house is prayer. From the preaching is prayer, because that's God speaking. How many times have the preacher confirmed, or the teacher confirmed, Sunday school, what you have already prayed about, what you were already thinking about, and that's God responding to you in prayer. Don't think it's just a coincidence, okay? Folks, I'm telling you, there's been too many coincidences for me to think it's a coincidence, okay? I know now that it is God speaking back to me, in a way in which I can get it, in a way in which I can understand. So he speaks through his people. We talked about how giving is a form of prayer. When you're bringing your offering to God, it's you speaking your love to him and your care, because your money and your giving represents your life. Mm-hmm. Time of your life that you have spent earning that money, and now you're giving it back as an offering to God. And it's like a gift of love that you're giving to the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter how much. We talked about the widow's mite. She just had two mites, which I hear it's like it was less than a penny, but that's all she had. But Jesus noted her and how his, you know, she was giving this gift of love to God, even though it was just so little. So it didn't matter the amount. It mattered what was going on in the heart. And God knows your heart, and God sees all the giving that you do. So it is a form of prayer, because when you give and nobody else knows what you're doing, you know, you're giving, God sees it, God hears it, and God accepts that gift, you know, of love that you're giving to him. You know, I was telling you how I was in the line at Starbucks, and somebody paid for my coffee, you know, and I was like, I have no idea who it was. I just got to the window, and they said, the person in front of you paid, and that person was, they had already driven off. And I was like, God, thank you. First, I thank God because, you know, that's God loving on me, you know, but I also thank God for that person. I'll never know who they are because no one has called me and told me, you know, I paid for your coffee. Nobody's called me. So I know it was just somebody just giving, you know, to another person, you know, and when we give to each other, that horizontal giving, that's also giving to him because these are, and God loves them. God loves everybody. Even when you give to unbelievers, you know, that's given to God because God loves them. Amen. And you're loving on them and on his behalf. You know, so again, we just get into all the ways in which we pray, you know, in our lives. Our whole life should be a prayer to God in everything that we do. And now we move on today to page 5 on your lesson, and it's the prayer warrior. Oh, boy, yeah. Ooh, it's right. Prayer warrior. Ooh. Yeah. Should make you shudder when we think about, and you hear that term prayer warrior, but, you know, as we define that term, prayer warrior is one who battles by prayer. That's what it means, a prayer warrior. So a person that battles by prayer. The prayer warrior is not passive, but the prayer warrior is aggressive in his or her duty to progress against the enemy. Oh, and not just, sometimes it's not even progressing. Sometimes it's just holding the ground and not letting the enemy take it.
Yes.
You know, and some of us, you know, we're praying for people. It could be your children, whatever. And you're just holding the ground. You will not take them. You will not take them. You know, so again, a prayer warrior is someone that's aggressive. They're not passive. Prayer to them is not, well, if it happens, it happens. If I feel like it, if it happens. No, a prayer warrior is aggressive. A prayer warrior plans. A prayer warrior makes sure they pray every day. A prayer warrior designates a place where I'm going to pray. Just when you think of a warrior, if you think of a soldier, they're not raggedy with their armor. They make sure that their sword is sharpened. They make sure that their armor is polished and ready to go. So that's a prayer warrior. They do prayer on purpose. It's not passive. It is aggressive. And they make sure it's a duty to them. So as we go into the lesson, we say prayer must be a priority because it makes you loyal. So we're going to talk about why prayer should be a priority under the prayer warrior. Prayer must be a priority because it makes you loyal and devoted to your commander in chief. Prayer keeps Christ on your mind as you do your daily work. You will think of him before you act or speak. That's what prayer does for you. It makes you loyal to Christ. I don't know if you sometimes feel indifferent when it comes to Jesus, like, oh boy, the Bible says this, but boy, do I feel like doing this, something else. The Bible says, you know, and that's when we're kind of feeling indifferent, you know, and basically you're feeling indifferent about God. You're feeling indifferent about Christ. You know, prayer changes that. You go into prayer and boy, your loyalties are set. You're not on the fence anymore when you pray. Your loyalty is put in place when you talk about when it comes to God. If you look at Philippians, if you have your Bibles, look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. See how it's linked to prayer? It's linked to prayer. So many things are linked to prayer. Sometimes we just pluck out a scripture, but you need to read what's around that scripture, because it's going to tell the story of what that scripture is all about. Because this scripture that we quote so much, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and mind, is linked to verse 6, which is prayer. By prayer and petition and thanksgiving, and God will guard your heart. Because our hearts are so susceptible to so much on this earth. Life is hard, folks. Life is hard, okay? And I think with each passing day, it gets harder. Life on planet Earth. And when I say hard, I mean there's so many forces trying to pull you and pull you away from God. That's what I mean by hard. And it says, but it says here, but that God will guard your heart and guard your mind. We're so pulled away in so many different directions. We now have a constant screen in front of us all the time. We have a screen that's constantly in front of us with all kind of things coming into our minds every day. And that's why, folks, it's so important that you pray, the priority of prayer, so that your mind is guarded against what may come over all the distractions and all the things that are happening on planet Earth in this day and age. So again, we want to make prayer a priority because it keeps you loyal and it keeps you devoted to Christ. Without it, I guarantee you, you will drift away if you do not pray. You will. It's not even an option. It's not if I might drift away. You will. You have to be connected or it will happen. As we keep going on our lesson, it says prayer must be a priority because it keeps you faithful and steadfast. You will be consistent in your work and assignment from your Lord when you pray. You will not grow weary in well-doing so readily when you pray. This world can wear a person out as there are so many opportunities to become discouraged in your faith. But as you pray, the Holy Spirit will encourage your heart so that you can complete your work and remain at your post until he comes. We keep using these warrior terms because that's what you're in. You've got to recognize that you're in a battle, you're in a war, and the enemy wants to pull you off of your assignment. He does not want you to be faithful to it. He does not want you to be steadfast. I know you've been praying for these same people for years and years, and you're stay at your post. Keep praying. Keep those people on your prayer list. You know, keep talking to God about them. Keep watching for the little changes, and thank God for the little changes. I'm learning that. God, I thank you for the little changes, as we have talked about, that you see God working in a heart and working in a life and tearing down those walls brick by brick, and you see it happening. So so prayer keeps you on your post and it keeps you faithful. It doesn't, you might get weary sometimes. When you get weary, go into prayer. That's the time you got to go pray. Sometimes you're too tired to pray. Sometimes I don't even know what to say at this point, you know, because you've been praying and praying and then something else happened. I said, I don't even know what to say anymore. You know, just say Jesus. Sometimes I just say Jesus, Jesus. You know, we went through 3 years, 3.5 years, I think, talking about living and praying in Jesus' name. And we talked about all the things that Jesus' name meant. So sometimes I just say Jesus, just Jesus, just Jesus. All I can say about this situation is Jesus, you know. So we just keep praying, keep steadfast, and watch that strength and that renewal come upon you. So we want to continue doing this and continue. The prayer brings endurance and encouragement in the Holy Spirit. The scriptures tells us, your scripture says, for the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. And that's Galatians 6, 8 through 9 in the Amplified. So again, we have to look at what we're sowing to. We can, and we see that this verse couples endurance and encouragement with sowing into the Holy Spirit. You get that? It's talking about you will endure and you will be encouraged if you sow into the Holy Spirit. But if you sow into your flesh, you know, my feelings will hurt, so I'm just going to go and have a pity party and pimp myself. And, you know, I'm just going to just not. I'm just going to go feel sorry for myself. I'm going to shut myself in, not talk to anybody, because I'm just going to go in the corner and go in my house and pout for a week. And folks, you're sowing into the flesh there. You know, you need to get into prayer. If you want to shut in with the Holy Spirit and come out loving people. The ones that hurt your feelings,
yes.
You know, and if I know the Holy Spirit, like I know the Holy Spirit, he's going to have you do something for the person that hurt your feelings. Okay. And that's how, what we call cutting the devil's head off, as the little old ladies used to say back in my church. They used to say, you have to cut the devil's head off, honey. Go hug him. Go hug that person. No. The Holy Spirit. If you sow to the Holy Spirit, he will make a change and he'll make a difference in you. And you won't even know why. Boy, I can't believe I did that. No, you didn't do it. The Holy Spirit had to do it to you. So understand, endurance and encouragement is coupled with sowing into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit keeps you from weariness and discouragement that comes in this life. It's going to happen. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. You know, he didn't stutter, as they say. He made it crystal clear. It was coming. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. When you wake up, meet with the Holy Spirit daily. You can face the world with a refreshed, faithful, and steadfast spirit. But you gotta wake up and meet with the Holy Spirit. You know, I know there's no rule in the Bible about when you pray. You know, it talks about Jesus prayed in the morning and things like that. But I'm telling you guys, there's something to that praying in the morning before you go out into the day. You know, by the end of the day, everything has happened. You know, and then you're trying to do cleanup, trying to clean up what happened during the day by praying, Lord, help this one. Help, Lord, I lost it today. Lord, help me, you know. If you started in the morning with prayer, you wouldn't have lost it, baby. You know, so don't do clean up after the day is done. Do it early so you don't have to clean up. Oh, Lord, so you're planting good seeds as you go into the day. Boy, people, I've just made a note on my notes. People who are losing steam in their faith are usually lacking in prayer. You know, when you're starting to lose steam, folks, press into prayer, because sometimes I know life can get busy. Life, so many things happen in life. We go on vacation, we have company, we do all kind of things. Things get busy, we're working on a project, we're doing this. But folks, make time for prayer. Make time for prayer, because then you start to lose steam, and that's when prayer is lacking. Prayer is your place of refilling. So don't let anything keep you from prayer, your filling station of faith. Okay, prayer is that filling station of faith. Prayer keeps you from the enemy who seeks to flip you to his side. Don't you know every day the enemy is seeking to flip you? You know, they use that term a lot these days when it talks about flipping in like an agent. You know, they're working, they're like, they're a CIA or an FBI agent for the United States, and the enemy talks about flipping them. I think I can flip that person. Why? Because they see that person kind of waffling on their loyalty to the nation, and they say, I think I can flip them and make them one of our agents. The enemy seeks to do the same thing to you, to flip you, to make you one of his agents daily. You know, I know you're a believer. I know you came to church today. You went to church on Sunday, but the enemy doesn't care. He'll still seek to flip you.
Yes.
And if you're not up in prayer, you won't even see him coming. So again, faithfulness and steadfastness is important. Prayer must be a priority because it keeps you standing guard, says your lesson. Jesus commanded you to watch and pray. These orders go hand in hand. Prayer shows you how to watch and keeps you from the daily deceptions of the enemy. When you pray, you can see Satan coming from afar. Be ready and be ready for his attack. So this flows in right from the other one. Steadfast, but you need to be standing guard and watchful so you can see things. I'm telling you, when you pray, you can see stuff happening.
Yeah.
You can see when tempers are rising in a room. You can see when somebody is starting something and strife, the spirit of strife has entered a room. You can tell because that, you know, people start making little snide remarks at each other. Mm-hmm. And boy, when you're prayed up, boy, we go right into prayer. Lord, we just rebuke that spirit. Because you're wrestling against a spirit that has entered into the room. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principality. We've got to be, so when you're prayed up, you are watchful and you can see these things. The scripture says in Matthew 26 and 40 and 41, it says, then Jesus returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said, were you not able to keep watch for me 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. God knows what we are. We know what we are. Your body gets weak. And it's not just weak as far as tired. It's weak up here too. And weak in here too. You know, our emotions can carry us away to all kind of stuff. You know, before we know it, we wake up like, how did I get here? You know, so you have to keep watch all the time. In this scene, the hour of Christ's betrayal is at hand. When Jesus is saying this to them, his betrayal is at hand, his arrest, his torture, and crucifixion was about to happen in the next few hours. It was time to pray. It was a time that they need to be praying to God during this trying time, but what they were doing is that they tried, but they fell asleep. You know, because sometimes we fall asleep, sometimes we get weak and we're not watching anymore and we don't know what's around the corner. These disciples are about to face, the trial of their life in the next few hours. And Jesus was trying to reiterate to them, watch and pray and pray. You need to be praying right now so that, as he said, you do not enter into temptation, that you're not carried off by the trial that is coming around the corner. You know, sometimes you can sense something is about to happen. You need to be in prayer. A prayer warrior sees the battle coming from a distance by unction of the Holy Spirit and prepares in prayer. Sometimes you cannot stop that storm from coming. That storm's coming in your life.
Yes.
As I said, Jesus said you're going to have tribulation. So sometimes that storm, Jesus will divert the storm, and sometimes you're going to go right into it. So you got to be ready. You see it coming. Okay. All right. This is about to fester. You know, especially family stuff. You can kind of see, something's coming. You know, or somebody has told you an inkling of something, and you're like, I need to go into prayer right now because there's a storm coming and I have to be ready and I have to be on point and I have to be on my post and in position and ready to battle the spirits that are coming this way. So Peter, because, you know, they should have been in prayer and Peter denied him. The others abandoned him. Wow, you know, and when you put it all together, you know, Jesus came back. Didn't he come back at least two times and they were asleep? And then in a few hours, Peter denied him three times. Before the sun rose that next morning, Peter denied him three times and the others abandoned him. Wow. I just wonder what the difference would have been had they been up and praying and didn't fall asleep. Folks, sometimes we gotta really see the priority of prayer and what happened. You know, I love these disciples because they are us. You know, we can't look at them and say, I can't believe they couldn't stay awake with Jesus. We would have done the same thing. You know, we would have done the same thing because those soldiers came late at night. They were probably tired from the day, you know, as we do. We're tired from the day and the Holy Spirit is saying, I mean, they had Jesus right there saying, pray. You know, I like to think I would have just, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to pray. I'll be tired, but Jesus said to pray, so I'm going to pray. And sometimes you have to do that when you feel the Holy Spirit giving you that unction. If you have to stand up, you know, and walk. Sometimes I walk and I pray when I'm really tired because if I sit down, I know I'm going to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. I heard about one person that said they stood on the edge of their tub.
Oh my.
Because they kept falling asleep when they prayed. And after he fell a time or two, he didn't fall asleep anymore. But he was determined to stay awake while he prayed. So it again is just talking about the priority of prayer, even when you're tired. If the Holy Spirit, I know many of you have talked about how the Holy Spirit wakes you up in the middle of the night and somebody drops into your mind, it's time to pray. It could be the difference between life and death for a person. So again, you wonder what would have happened if those disciples stayed awake. And how often have we failed to watch and pray through a difficult time? And if we fail to pray, our emotions will rule us. Folks, we know that to be true because we know the flesh is weak. You know, if we fail to pray, our emotions will rule us instead of the Holy Spirit. You know, but when you're prayed up, the Holy Spirit will rule. You know, and you'll be surprised at yourself. Like, I can't believe I was so peaceful through all of that. That's the Holy Spirit because you're prayed up. So as we move on, prayer was a priority in the ministry from the beginning of the church. We can see that they were praying from the very beginning. You know, it was amazing how Peter bounced back from all of that. You know, after denying the Christ, and you know, he bounced back and he was the one that was leading the early church. And your lesson says the people of the early church prayed about everything. Everything was ministry to them, from meeting together to teaching to fellowship to eating together. Prayer was central to all of it. And the scripture says in Acts, from Acts 2:42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Makes it very clear they were praying. And it's amazing. These people did not have Bibles. They didn't have all the versions that we have and Bibles, but they listened intently to the teaching of the apostles, and they devoted themselves to not just praying, but to living what they heard and changing their lives. And it happened through prayer too, that they were praying together. So again, you just look at the commitment and the dedication of these people in the early church. You know, they didn't have all the things that we have, and many of them were being hunted down and being imprisoned, but yet they continued devoted to Jesus Christ and his church. The next point in your lesson says, therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men confirmed to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will appoint this responsibility to them and devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And that's from Acts 6:4. Oh boy, I just thought that was just so profound, the wisdom there, because these people were praying. And they were praying to the point that even when things came up, because the church was growing and growing. Remember on the day of Pentecost? They had 3,000 people. They had a church of over 3,000 people in one day. You know, so you can imagine the needs and all of the ministry that needed to take place. But the apostles, they didn't move away from prayer. You know, it's like, okay, we don't have time to pray anymore. I got to go over here and do this, and I have to go over that. No. They said, we're going to appoint people to take care of that and that and that, and we are going to continue in prayer because that's a priority here, because all of this will crumble if we're not praying and being connected with our Lord. Your lesson says the leaders of the early church took great care that they were not distracted from their prayer time. Even when urgent issues came up, they delegated duties to others so that they could remain in prayer. You know, so you got to learn to let some things go and delegate to other people so you can pray. They understood the critical need of being connected to Christ and his Holy Spirit for the church's survival, for the church's power through prayer to prevail on the earth. So they knew that. They said, this is the first church. This is the early church. And we know we have a very formidable enemy. And we know we must be praying right now. We must be praying. And folks, the same is true today for the church. Oh my goodness, the church, the church, the church. If we would pray, if we would pray, if we would pray. Oh, the changes that could happen if we would pray. But they understood it was critical to the survival of the church being connected to Christ in prayer, for the church of Christ to prevail on the earth. And I thank God for those people that were praying, because I believe the church of Christ is here today because they prayed at the beginning. And people have prayed down through history. So today we have prayer still going on. Prayer, you know, you read some of those old guys that have gone on to be with Jesus, like Andrew Murray and others that, oh man, Charles Spurgeon and all these people that, and they wrote books, multiple books on prayer. I mean, it was like, please, whatever you do, keep praying. I don't care what the situation is. You know, folks, I just can't think of anything that's more important than prayer right now. You know, I mean, yes, we have our political agendas, and if we do this and if we do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to make sure we're going to sign this petition, and we're going to do that, we're going to see if we can change the legislation. I'm telling you, prayer is a priority. I'm not saying that you don't do those things, but if you're not praying, it's just another program that God may or may not invade, you know. But if you're praying, oh man, see, prayer can go into all those places that you may not be able to go. Prayer can go into the White Houses, in the Capitol, the governor's mansions. Yes. Oh, yes. You know, prayer can go into all these places, you know, and change hearts. That's why the Bible commands us to pray for our leaders. I don't care if you voted for them or not. Pray for them, because the Bible tells you to, because their hearts can turn and their hearts can change, because prayer can minister. God can dispatch ministering angels. Oh, man, and the Holy Spirit can move in places where you and I can't go. So again, it's always critical that we pray. Back to the church, the early church, regardless of how established a church is, by property, by money, by membership, if there is no prayer, it will eventually grow cold and die. I'll tell you that, and I don't bite my tongue on that. I don't care how established. We've seen it. We've seen it in America.
Yes.
We've seen it. Great ministries. Great ministries. Oh, man. I mean, I wasn't there to see the details, but I guarantee you prayer was left out somewhere.
Yes.
There was a failure in prayer. You know, and that's why they came tumbling down. You know, those of you that have lived long enough, you remember it was on national TV. Some of the ministries that came tumbling down. Folks, we got to pray. Never rest. The church can't rest on its property and its money and its influence even. But it needs to rest on prayer. This can happen corporately and it can happen individually. Okay, don't ever think that you have so much. You know, the Christian who thinks he or she is so established in their faith that they do not need to pray is in grave danger of falling from the faith. I'm telling you, never get such a swollen Christian head that you think you don't need to pray anymore or pray as much anymore. Oh man, you are in grave danger of falling from the faith. Prayer keeps you on point. Prayer keeps you on point. You got to understand you are in a battle. You're in a war, and you've got spirits, demons watching and just waiting for you to stop praying, because they will be right there ready for you, ready to plant thoughts in your head and in your mind. And before you know it, you think, oh, I guess that's not too bad. That's okay. I guess, you know, maybe the Bible didn't mean it that way. Oh, maybe we can just put that one aside. You know, it's amazing. The deceptions. You know, you can understand the enemy's been here a long time. Okay? He's been here, you know, theologians believe millions of years he's been around. I mean, for you, that's a drop in the bucket. You know? Not even a drop. That's a molecule in the bucket.
Yes.
So he's been here all this time deceiving humanity. And for you to think that you can stand up against them in your own will and your own power, you are being deceived. Even that right there, that thought right there, is a deception that he wants to get us all to. So we all have to keep praying, no, regardless of all you've done. And don't get rest on what you've done for God. People get caught up in what they've done for God. And I built this ministry for God, and I wrote all these books for God, and I preached all over the world for God. Be careful. You better keep praying, because people like that are super targets. You know, once you've done all those things for God, and don't you know the enemy's got you in his crosshairs, just waiting for the opportunity to take you down, waiting for you to stop praying so he can take you down. Next one, your lesson says, it seems in every aspect of ministry, whether feeding others, loving each other, or persevering in hard times, they were reminded to keep praying in the early church. It didn't matter. Prayer is the life's blood of ministry. Without it, you're just going through the motions of ministry without the Spirit of Christ. And many, many do. They just go through the motions of ministry, you know, just for the show of it. I'm talking about, I mean, really. I tell you guys, I'm an old church girl. I've seen a lot, you know. And boy, it's so sad when you see people just in it for the show, you know, in it for the praise. And look at what I did. And look how well I can sing. Oh, my goodness. I can just go out there and just hit the rafters and bring everybody to their feet. Be careful. Be careful. Oh, God's always looking at the heart. He's always looking at the heart, and you need to be in prayer. Without it, you're just going through the motions. If a ministry proceeds without prayer, sooner or later, it will be found cold and lifeless. As the scripture says, having a form of godliness, but no power. And that's in 2 Timothy 3:5. How sad to see a church that has grown cold because the prayer fires went out. Started out well. Scriptures talk about you. You did run well, but who hindered you? Who kept you from the truth? You started out good, but who hindered you? And I dare say, I think that's the question God will ask on that day if you fail. You were running well. Who hindered you? Who kept you? Who kept you from prayer? Who kept you from talking to me? And there's no valid response that we could give that can be accepted by Christ. So we have to pray on purpose. I keep saying that, but it's true. You gotta pray on purpose and not passively. The next point in your lesson, it says, Paul encouraged Timothy, a missionary for the gospel, to keep prayer as a priority in his mission to minister to the world. He made it clear that no matter who he would minister to, be it kings or lay people, he should remember to pray and intercede first. And the scripture says, first of all, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all those in authority, so that we may lead tranquil and quiet lives in all godliness and dignity. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's 1 Timothy 2:1-4. And he starts off, as you can see, that whole passage starts off with verse 1. First of all, I urge that petitions and prayers. That's how he starts it all off. Before we even talk about your ministry, let's talk about petitions and praying. You know, then we can talk about it. Keep in mind the words of this great apostle. He said this, and this is in 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. He says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony of about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Remember, this is the Apostle Paul talking. The one that was so educated and had so much going on. I mean, he was working for the Sanhedrin. I mean, he was all that. But these are the words that he is saying when he was converted. He didn't come in and says, okay, I've got all the scriptural education, so you guys just let me do my thing. He came with humility. He says, when I came to you, I did not come with you with my eloquence of speech or my education, flashing my degree in front of you. I proclaim to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't care what kind of degree you have. You could even have a degree in theology. When you come to Jesus Christ, folks, you got to be re-educated. You have to be re-educated. I am finding, boy, scriptures that I thought I knew what it meant, I'm finding. God will show you. This is what it really means. And you're like, ouch. You have to be re-educated. And this is what Paul is saying to them. I know nothing. except Jesus Christ and whom crucified. And he goes on to say, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith would not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And again, that's 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And boy, there's so much in that scripture that we have got to understand. We come in weakness and we come in fear and not in persuasive words. Some people, they have that gift. I mean, you ever said to somebody, you should have been an attorney because you could have won any case. You know, I know people like that. They can convince you of anything, you know, because they're so persuasive, you know, and they can mount a case on anything and win. But he's saying, I put all that aside. And that's what he's saying. I believe Paul was a persuasive person. I mean, you just read his writings and, you know, I believe they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. But you can tell this man was knowledgeable of things, you know. But he says, I don't come to you with persuasive words and demonstration of who I am, but in the Spirit's power. Because the Holy Spirit can come in to that gift of persuasiveness. And boy, when the Holy Spirit touches it, then hearts are changed. And the gospel is truly preached. So whatever gifts or talents you have, you need to submit them to the Holy Spirit in prayer. Mm-hmm. Don't ever think that because, oh, I got this. I got this meeting. Man, I reviewed the notes and I got this. Oh, watch out. Watch out. The enemy will set you up. But you go out with God like, Lord, I thank you for the understanding, but Father, I need you to go before me. Yep. Because I don't know what's in that room. And I know it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord. So you go before me. That's not just for church and for salvation. That's for everything you do. You know, you need to invite the Holy Spirit. You go before me. I know how to do this, how to put this all together, but Lord, go before me and help me, guide me, because I don't know what spirits are going to show up there. But you know, Lord. And I want you with me, and I want you going ahead of me. Because folks, you don't know what kind of spirits are showing up in different places. All the tragedies we see in our world today, you know, school shootings. I know those people never felt that the spirit of murder was going to walk into the school that day, but it did. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, what things are going on. You know, so you need to pray. It's not all about you and your gifts and your talents, your persuasive words. We got to bring the Lord into this. I had resolved to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I get up tomorrow morning. I'm like, I know nothing about this day, Lord. So go before me. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to show up, but Lord, you go before me. He was an educated, intelligent man that understood that his skills didn't matter, only a demonstration of the Holy Spirit in his life. And that's going to happen as you keep a consistent prayer life. The next point in your lesson, the writer of Romans encourages people to keep their spirits fervent, which is passionate and intense, as they serve the Lord. This can only happen when you have a consistent prayer life. Oh, your spirit can't be fervent. It can't be passionate and intense if you're not praying. And the scripture says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spirit fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Like, there it is again, Romans 12, 11 through 12. And I love it says, keep your spirit fervor. I mean, I'm like, okay, that's a command. That's like telling you to keep it, not God, keep my spirit fervent. No, he's telling you, keep your spirit fervent. How you do that? Prayer. That's a command right there. It's up to you to keep the fires burning in your spirit. That's something that you have to do. So again, we take that to heart. It goes on to say, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And he says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Wow. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Wow. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And that's Colossians 4, 2 through 4. And again, this great apostle, he's talking about prayer again. Here he is. I believe as he's writing this, he's in prison, writing to the church. You know, writing to them, telling them, pray, pray, pray. I am in chains and I am doing these things, but I encourage you to keep praying. And in your note says, in this letter to the church at Colossae, Paul repeatedly coupled ministry with prayer. He taught that prayer was the key to opening a door for the message of Christ. Remember, when people are closed off to the message of Christ, it is often because of the influences of darkness on their minds. Keep that in mind. All you got to keep. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I know you're dealing with that bad attitude, and you see that bad attitude coming out of that person, but you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against the spirit, and you need to pray. Prayer will bring movement in this supernatural realm as the Holy Spirit and the heavenly host is activated to act on behalf of people to drive that darkness from them so that they can receive the saving message of Christ. Folks, you can't just run around beating people with the Bible. I'm telling you, you got to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open those doors, take away those spirits so that you can minister the truth of the gospel. The Holy Spirit has to orchestrate everything, I have found. You know, I run into people sometimes that, you know, determine that they're going to minister. They're going on vacation, but they're going to minister to that person that's on a plane with them, whoever they sit next to, because they're holding them prisoner, and they're going to preach the whole way, you know. And I think about that. I'm like, well, you know, you better be praying, because you could lose that person, because they're going to get off that plane like, oh my God, you got to do something about the Christians on the plane. Oh boy, you know, I'm telling you, you gotta use wisdom when you're ministering to people. You know, may we always pray before we try and minister. And as the scripture has said, and this is Zechariah 4:6, if you want to write this down, the scripture we quote all the time, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I was reading that. Heaven's armies. Boy, plural. God has multiple armies. Do you hear that? You know? So all you, if you go into prayer, man, those armies are dispatched on your behalf. They're dispatched to minister to people. So it's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by your intellect. It's not by your persuasive words. It's not by your ability to capture people, but it's by his spirit that the changes are going to take place. So we want those things to happen. Final point we're going to do today. Paul also taught that prayer helps us deliver that message in the manner it needs to be delivered. Clearly, with wisdom, with grace, seasoned with intelligence. Boy, all of these things are characteristics of the Holy Spirit and characteristics of our Lord. You know, that he was clear. He talked with wisdom, with grace, you know, seasoned with intelligence. I mean, boy, the way Jesus utilized scripture to minister to people. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. But you've got to, again, we go back to prayer. Never assume that you already know what to say and do when ministering to people. When you do this, you are operating in a spirit of arrogance, and the enemy will take that opportunity to trip you up on your delivery. Folks, and I'm telling you, this is especially true when you're ministering to family. Okay, can I talk about family for a minute? Because those people that we know, those people that we, as we ladies would say, I carry them for 9 months. I know them, okay? And sometimes you feel, because you know them, you can take them for granted. You know, because you know them, you can just talk to them any kind of way. you know, about God and different things like that. But you, oh boy, I implore you, God has taught me, had to re-educate me on how to be a mother. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, we think we're all that, but I'm telling you, has to re-educate you on how to be a father. You know, we think we know so much. You know, and I keep hearing that scripture in my head sometimes. Fathers, I think it's fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And boy, that's become a reality these days. Because as you see children just lashing out, you know, against their parents in one way or another, you know, and I think to myself, Lord, teach me how to minister to my kids. I think I thought I knew, Lord. But every day he's teaching me how to love them. You know, we think we know, but God will show you how to really love that child and how to care for them. You know, so again, as we look at this, we don't want to get arrogant even in our parenthood. You don't want to get arrogant in your sisterhood or your brotherhood to somebody because you're so close. You want to always pray, Lord, show me. We've had 1,000 conversations, but Lord, today, show me what to minister and what to say to them. You know, Lord, I'm going to the family reunion. I've seen these folks over and over year after year, but Lord, show me. Minister to me. Show me what to say. How to love my family. How to love my brothers and sisters. You know, no, don't take anything for granted because, again, you're operating in a spirit of arrogance. You know, Lord had to show me that, you know, you think you're arrogant. Mamas can be arrogant. We can think, oh, no. You know? And boy, God will teach you. If you allow him, yeah, as you were saying, Rose, you drive him away because you're not using wisdom. You're operating in pride and arrogance in your motherhood and pride and arrogance in your fatherhood instead of humility like the Lord did. Your lesson says, always humble yourself in prayer before ministering anything. It doesn't matter how long you've done a ministry. Always invite the Holy Spirit to join you, lead you, and go before you as you minister in anything. And we're going to leave it right there. Any comments or questions? Anything? Was it that crystal clear?
Yeah. Last night in the Bible study group I went to, it was Jonathan Kahn. And one thing that struck home was that you're talking about the wilderness prayer. Mm-hmm. It seems the prayers I hear more are in the wilderness, mm-hmm. and that's because there's no distraction, yeah. where there's nothing.
Yes.
So we're in deep thought or thinking, we're going through things in our life. Mm-hmm. We're in the wilderness. We consider ourselves in the wilderness,
yeah.
and that's where he hears us the most.
Yes. Absolutely. Sunny. And that's where you can hear him
yeah.
the most, too. And that's why we talk about that prayer room, that war room. Mm-hmm. You know, if you remember the movie, it was a closet, you know.
Yeah.
So you think about a closet. Sometimes your closet is the most private place you have in your house, especially those of you that have kids. You know, you go in your closet and you can close the door and, you know, you can hear God so clearly, you know, when you're praying. Thank you for sharing that. You had something,
yeah.
Virginia?
It was just like that poem that I said last week, that prayer is the key to heaven, but faith mm-hmm. unlocks the door. And the other one is that if without prayer, it's like your boat without an oar. All you're mm-hmm. doing is floating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you can pray, but if you're just floating and not going anywhere,
yeah.
that's all that prayer's going to stay is right there.
Yeah, absolutely. It yeah. was like what we talked about when we talked about being in a trench,
yeah, yeah,
you know, like they used to fight and they mm-hmm. used to dig trenches and they used to get out there and they're shooting back at the enemy, mm-hmm. but nobody's taking any land because you can't get out of that trench,
right?
You know,
right.
but prayer takes you out of the trench into that tank we talked about, and the tank, oh, the tank's going to take some territory.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely right. Thank you for
so
sharing
that. So we have
that.
To put action, you know, to our prayers.
Yes.
Otherwise, we are just like a boat bouncing
yeah.
or an inner tube
yeah.
or whatever we're out there.
Well, action bathed mm-hmm. by the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, yeah, by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I ask the Holy Spirit, yeah. you know, in everything.
Yeah, you were saying something about ministers being a big target.
Yeah.
And I remember back in the 80s, Jimmy Swaggart, before mm-hmm. he fell, he was requesting prayer. And mm-hmm. he said that he had this vision of being in this river, and a snake was coming and slithering up to him, and he said it reared back to strike him. but there was like a glass between him and the snake. And so he said, I was protected, I believe, by prayer. So he was coveting prayers for himself. So he must have been under a really bad attack.
Oh, they all are, you know, because the enemy is like just pounding at them. Because I always say the enemy bowls. He knows if he can get that front center pin, all the others will fall down. And that's why we got to pray for pastors. We got to pray for our pastor. Pray for our leadership, you know, and pray and pray. It's no game, folks. You gotta do that, you know, if they are to be sustained. And, you know, and if they do fall, the enemy wants to take them out. Not just take them down, wants to take them out because of all the damage they've already done to his kingdom. You know, so doesn't want them to bounce back. And I thank God for Jimmy Swagger because he has bounced back and he's ministering the gospel again. And I thank God for that.
Yes.
You know, for those ministers, you know, I think it was back in, was it the 80s and stuff when all of that happened, and Jim Baker, and he's bounced back and he's back in ministry, you know, and we just thank God for that, you know, that, you know, they were protected. And I believe prayer, you know, they may have lost those ministries, but man, here they are still ministering. So thank God
for that. That's just like when this happened, I said, Jimmy Swagger's just a human man.
Mm-hmm.
He's not omnipotent. I mean, he can make mistakes.
Yes.
But we're not to judge him.
Mm-hmm.
And someone would say, so this happened. And they said, well, and I said, well, look at David.
Mm-hmm.
Look what David did.
David.
Did God throw David in?
David. Oh, man. Not only just adultery and murder. My goodness.
Yeah.
And he's got the audacity to have his star on the Israeli flag to this day. Oh, but I love it. I love it. Because it tells the story of humanity and God's love. I love that.
And this is why it's so important, not for us to look at the surface, for us to go deep.
Yeah.
You know, and then let the Lord take care of
ourselves. Oh, yeah. You're so right, Virginia. Go deep.
Yes.
I love that, because the Lord is teaching us when you're praying for people, God will take you deep into what's going on.
You're not
going
to be praying when your flow's not having a good time.
Yes.
When those rapids hit you, where do you go then?
Yes.
You know, when those rapids are throwing you up and down.
Oh, I'm telling you, you better have on a life jacket.
Oh, this is fun. Oh, I really enjoy this.
Who's ever gone whitewater rafting? Nobody's gone whitewater rafting in here? You have? Okay. I got to get with you because I want to go. You know?
Well, you're getting thrown around. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're sure glad when that water settles that you get dry ground. Good.
Yes. Dry ground. And thank God gives us dry ground. But I love what you said about going deep. I find that when you start praying for people, God shows you past that front exterior to what's really going on. I mean, they could be mean as all get out. But boy, God will show you beyond that.
And we're all
what's
humans.
Really happening.
We're not supernatural. Mm-hmm. We're all humans.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And those that fail, like David did, you know, be able to see beyond, you know, people that are under a lot of pressure. Leaders, got to pray for them because the pressures is what can get to them many, many times.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to see beyond that to see what's
really
happening.
Big word, pride.
Yeah, pride.
Yes.
Who said that? Every human sin can be traced back to pride. Yes. And I find it's absolutely true. That's what it comes down to. So we want to be humble before the Lord. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Regina.
Regarding Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you'll reap if you do not lose heart. I've mentioned this before, but it's worth saying again, I believe. But there's three due seasons when we pray, and the due is D-U-E, wherein as we pray and wait, that's a due season. But then there's a D-E-W, where the manifestation of that prayer did come to pass.
Wow.
And then the D-O, due season, go and do what you learned in that season.
Oh, wow, that's good. You should write that down. That is good. Yeah, the due seasons. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And God takes us through all of those seasons, you know. You know, there is something about waiting before the Lord for that due season, you know, because it's not just waiting I have found. God is doing something in you as you're waiting. It's not just random lost time. He's doing a work in you. while you're waiting. I said, those people you're praying, those things you're praying for, and those people you're praying for, God's doing a work in you mm-hmm. while you're waiting and praying. You know, anybody else? Anybody
good? I've been asking the Lord to do anything in me.
Yes.
And I'm really ready. And I just need to go deep. Mm-hmm. And then we got a message this morning to give to me.
Yes.
And so the Lord hears our prayers, yes. and He wants to answer them. We have to be open to receive them.
Yes. Absolutely. You have to be open to receive, because sometimes, you know, God is always trying to grow us up, Rose.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, boy, it's an ouch kind of when you receive from the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you, if you receive it, oh, you'll be better off for it.
Amen.
God is always, always growing us up, you know. So anyway, again, reminding you through prayer, we're going to have our dinner next Sunday is dinner, Sunday dinner. So please, everyone's invited. We bring a potluck. If you don't have anything to bring, just come on anyway. Okay, we'll have plenty. And as I said, we're going to barbecue something. So you have something on the grill. And again, I'm still working to get the podcast up. More have been put up. So, you know, check out the podcast at faithfights.com. You can go to that website. I was hoping I could get it at the church website at some point, but I don't know how much space they have because we got a lot of podcasts. So faithfights.com is where you can listen to the lessons over and over again. And I'm trying to catch up so that when we do a lesson on Sunday, you can listen to it later the week.
Karen, do you happen to know what that big tower is that they're building out there?
It's a cell phone tower.
Oh, it's a cell phone tower.
Yeah, it's for a cell phone. That's yeah. And I think they're going to put a cross at the very top of it, too. That was the negotiation, I believe, is that they're going to put a cross on top of it since it's on church property. But yeah, it's a cell phone tower. That's what they're building out there. So, okay, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, because you are so good to us and you are so faithful. Lord, I pray for us, Lord God, that we would understand the priority of prayer, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would not get up another day and go out another day, Lord God, without taking the time to speak to you and talk to you about that day, Lord God. Father, we understand we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against spirits and powers, Lord God. And we need your Holy Spirit to go before us in everything. Father, we pray that the church would prevail, Lord God. And we know that that prevailing will come only as we pray. Oh, God, I pray we would not neglect it. Lord, the apostles wrote about it. He wrote about it over and over again. Do not fail to pray. Endure in praying. Keep on praying. So, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient and that we would take the time. I pray by your Holy Spirit, you will remind each and every one of us to pray before we do anything, before we go into projects, before we go on vacation, before we go into meetings, Lord, that we would bring the Holy Spirit with us. Oh, God, I pray that you would increase and we would decrease. I pray our arrogance would decrease, our arrogance that says we can do it without you, Lord God. We recognize that it is arrogance, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we pray it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit that all things are accomplished. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you and we expect you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.